Hello and welcome to the Beautiful Business Podcast, where today I'm joined by the amazing Gulliver Moore. Gulliver is the founder and MD of creative agency Sunday Treat. Though they might be London-based, they take on projects all over the world with some incredible brands like Google, Canon and Revolut. When you look up the team at Sunday Treat and you delve into the work they create, you just can't help but feel the fun, and finding the fun is all part of Gulliver's work ethic. Alongside rapid growth, staying far away from niching and surpassing the magic £1 million turnover with just seven people in the team. Gulliver, along with his co-founder Oliver Club, are somehow navigating this agency world in what one might consider to be the most topsy-turvy of ways, and it's working. And today I can't wait to delve into Sunday Treat's style and how they've made it work by going completely against the grain.
I'm really kind of focused on the team first, because once you've got that right, then everything else kind of slots into place. We do have proper values at Sunday Treat spanning across our team, our clients, and our creativity. It's something that we talk about in all the interviews that we do. It's something that we revisit a lot. And the team is the first one there, because that kind of sets the bar for everything else. If you've got a happy, you know, functioning and passionate team, you know, that turn up every day, you know, and give every project their fullest, then the rest kind of slots into place quite easily, really.
Welcome to the Beautiful Business Podcast from The Wow Company. If you're searching for the right strategies, tools, and connections to ignite your thinking and elevate your business, then join us for a fortnightly dose of inspiration. Our guests range from industry-leading agencies and cutting-edge tech pioneers to motivational speakers and executives, all offering actionable insights to help you thrive in profit and purpose. So, whether you're a growing consultancy or an agency leader, this podcast is your source of knowledge and encouragement to spark meaningful change in your business and beyond. Hey Gully, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks Chloe. Pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to have you here. Tell us something about you as a person that isn't work-related, that isn't common knowledge.
Well, I think before I started film, which was the evolution to Sunday Treat, really, I was so into music. And I really considered a music career. So even this is slightly career-related. When I was a teenager, I was in a band called Swordfish with my brother. We were an electro band. We'd even horribly sample my voice. I'm a terrible singer, but somehow my vocals made it into most songs with lots of auto-tune. And back in the MySpace days, we actually managed to sell one of our EPs to a German record label who distributed it in Japan. And we actually had quite a big following in Japan and quite a lot of fan art. It was a wonderful, crazy time. But I think that the reason I decided not to pursue music and go into film was actually that the thing I liked most about music wasn't the music itself. It was the branding of it and the business of it, and how can we make the album artwork work with the way we're promoting ourselves. And actually, I think there's a lot of commonality there between, you know, what I'm doing now at an early age. But maybe in another life, I could have been a DJ or a musician. Now I'm just constrained to acoustic guitar covers that are less than desirable.
That's incredible. Did you ever go over to Japan to, I don't know, see your fans, do a little gig?
No, we're not going to do a big gig over there. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day you can do what everyone else does and just come back together and revamp.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring you back down to earth, but can we talk about Sunday Treat? I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, what motivated you to start your agency and how it got to where it is today.
It kind of started by accident, really. I was in the industry working as a director for 10 years. Often in collaboration with my now co-founder, Ollie Club. We were a director DOP duo. And we worked on all sorts of branded content, commercials, TV series all around the world. Worked on some really amazing projects, and I really enjoyed it so much. But it just got to the point where we were offloading so much to freelancers, particularly edit work, that I thought, right, I'm just going to take that step and hire one full-time employee, and that's where it's going to end. But then actually, when you are responsible for someone's career development, you realize that you need values, you need a culture, you need a personal development plan, you need an appraisal system. And so I took all that quite seriously and ended up putting a huge amount of time into developing that and enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would. And so at the end of that process, I kind of had that foundation to make it quite easy to hire more people. So we hired a producer, account manager, then Ollie came on board with me. And then it kind of grew from there, really. So it wasn't ever entirely intentional. But I think looking back, drifting towards that was probably always an inevitability, really.
Oftentimes we hear that people sort of reluctantly end up being in that leadership position, but it sounds like that was something that you fell into quite naturally.
If you set too many tangible goals sometimes, then maybe you just get a bit disappointed when you don't achieve them. So we've never really set, you know, proper goals at Sunday Treat. We just go with the flow, really. And actually it's worked out well so far.
I love that. And that's, I think, one of those topsy-turvy things that I mentioned at the beginning. Like, you know, we hear so often in the agency world that you need to have these really tangible goals and things that you're working towards, and actually to be really quite specific about it. But we'll definitely come back to sort of your less traditional methods, shall we say, in a moment. I think scaling to the 1 million plus turnover is quite a significant milestone. So absolutely congratulations, especially considering you're still such a young agency. Was it 2021 you said that you started up?
Yeah, January 2021. So right in the middle of COVID, really.
Yeah, exactly. And right in the middle of that time when everyone else was kind of hit really hard as well. What do you think is the secret to how you have grown so quickly in such a short amount of time?
I guess it's a bit of a cop-out answer, but there aren't really any kind of major secrets. It's just all the decisions that you make every day, really. And it's that slow and steady approach. Some of those decisions you get right, some of them you get wrong. If you get more of them right than you get wrong, generally you're headed in a good direction. I think that we've been considered with how we've been approaching the growth of the team, not too quickly, actually, because I think the culture we have is the most important thing, especially in the services industry. So it's really important not to be too aggressive with your expansion and start to lose that culture. And I think I've always been a pioneer of having a smaller team of, you know, really well-trained, passionate people over, you know, a larger team. I think it makes everything more enjoyable and everything more productive, with ultimately better work at the end of it. But yeah, I think, again, we haven't really had any kind of specific goals in mind. I actually didn't notice, you know, when we hit that 1 million plus turnover last year. You know, it's quite a lagging indicator in our business. You don't know how well you're doing until you retrospectively look back. You know, I'd like to say 1 or 2 months. Sometimes our clients have extremely long payment terms, which isn't ideal, but it, you know, and it does mean that sometimes you don't really realize what your turnover quarter of the year is going to be until, you know, a long time, sometimes 6 months or more afterwards. So I think it's really important that we haven't been too numbers focused and that we just sort of kind of drifted past that, really, without, you know, giving a huge amount of thought. Like Ollie and I, you know, never celebrated that or anything, really. And, you know, we're on track to have, you know, a much better year again. But yeah, I think it's just a slow and steady pace, just making considered decisions and just making sure that you're preserving that team and the culture beyond anything else. But I would say that the kind of pillars of Sunday Treat would be the strong team and the culture, the fantastic client experience that we give, and of course, doing great work with a really high creative and social focused output.
I love that you say that you're not too numbers focused, because I guess it leaves all that room to go into the areas that you're really passionate about. Like you said, you know, the kind of the great project and working with a great team and all of that stuff. But I wonder how that works, because you've got a team underneath you, right? You've got a team of people who ultimately you're responsible for paying their wages. So do you have any focus on the numbers? Like, or is it just a very loose kind of, we just know we've got to roughly hit this many projects, or how does it work for you?
No, we do actually. And we've got a fantastic bookkeeper, a fantastic accountant we work with that help us with a bit of strategy there. And you know, a big part of my role over the last few years has been getting a handle on financial strategic planning, and much more in the near to long term, I want to be working out how much of our profit, you know, we can put into different areas of the business growth, because we've always been very focused on putting any profit right back into the business. But we've always done it just with a bit of a scattergun approach on what's needed at the time. So I've been thinking, you know, a lot recently about how we can formalize that process a little bit more and then be very confident in the numbers that we're putting into certain areas of growth, for example, new recruitment, culture improvement, benefits, and actually rather than just doing that as the need arises, I'm having a bit more of a plan in place. But generally, I think that, you know, your head's far above water if you've got, you know, a decent amount in the bank to be able to pay your team, you know, for 6 months, even if no work comes in. That's always been a really hard rule that we've had. And, you know, there's more money coming in than going out. So, yeah, I give it a lot of attention, but I'm not guided by the spreadsheets. And in terms of both spending money, but probably more importantly, goals of earning money, that's not the spreadsheets that are leading that. You know, it's the client relationships, it's the work, it's the team. And then you just need to pay attention to the numbers every now and again to make sure everything's looking healthy, which generally it always has been.
What does success look like for you at Sunday Treat then? And I guess with that in mind, what decisions have you made that so far that have taken you in that direction towards success?
That's funny. That's a question that we ask our clients, actually. I honestly don't know. I'm not looking. I think success at the moment, which is the only point worth thinking about for me at the moment, is having a business that is supporting the people that work for it, making great work and keeping everyone energized and passionate about what they do with a really high quality, you know, variants of work with some sort of growth. Because I think if you're not growing at all, then you're stagnant and the world's always changing. It's really important to be always growing, but not too quickly, you know, in our minds. So yeah, you know, I don't have any aspirations, you know, like I'm part of a lot of agency networks and, you know, we're often hearing about agency exits and setting up your business to be sold. You know, I don't have any aspirations of that at all. And I think that's a nice, healthy approach to have. It's very genuine and authentic. And at the moment, we're just thinking about slowly evolving and creating great work, really.
And I talk about you being slightly topsy-turvy. And the reason that I say that with those particular words is because you've grown in a period of time when a lot of agencies have really struggled. You steer clear of niching, right? Your kind of view on things is to service who you can as long as it's fun. And, you know, you've kept your team really small, and even talking to you now, like I can see like your focus is in kind of a bigger picture and quite in a creative sort of space. Do you consider yourself to have quite an unconventional approach, or to you is it just the norm?
No, to me it's definitely just the norm, actually. I think we started Sunday Treat long before I started discovering anything about how other businesses run or market themselves or have any kind of strategies. So we kind of built all that just first, and then I suddenly find myself kind of attending these events and chatting to people who tell me that they're really surprised at the numbers we have based on the headcount that we have, or they're really surprised that we have, you know, gone against that grain by not niching at all. And I think it's always quite an engaging conversation, but I don't necessarily think of ourselves as going against the grain too much. I would say that our one niche, which has been really successful, has been Find the Fun. So Find the Fun is our lens that we look at every project through as Sunday Treat, and it harks back to me and Ollie's days as a DOP and director duo shooting a lot of comedy. We love shooting comedy, and we wanted to bring an essence of that into Sunday Treat. So we typically specialize in fun projects, and that doesn't just mean a fun output, it does mean a fun experience working together with us. I'm in the office today, and you know, I just get so much pleasure. It's probably the number one thing I love about this job is just, you know, walking into the team and everyone's having, you know, a laugh about something else that I'm not even privy to, you know, and it's just like the atmosphere and the culture here is just so enjoyable every day. And it's a fun experience working for us with our clients as well. It doesn't mean we exclusively do comedy. We actually do some really hard hitting serious work for lots of our clients, like the NHS, for example. But it's been a way that our clients have been able to understand what we do, because you watch our showreel and we have got work from all sorts of different clients all around the world, you know, huge household names to tiny charities that you might not have heard of. And it is quite hard to define exactly what we are. So I think using, you know, that handle, Find the Fun, it's marketing for us, but it is also very, very genuine to the work that we love doing. And I think, you know, when we started the company, we were doing maybe kind of 80%, I suppose you could say more kind of traditional B2B corporate comms work, and 20% fun work. And now through really living find the fun, talking about it every day. We have flipped that completely 180 so that we're doing 80% fun work. And it has just brought so much life into everything that we do, because it's, you know, I always enjoy shooting comedy. It's always like a nice little icebreaker, always more fun to shoot. But when we're shooting fun projects that you can share on socials, you can shout about, you're going to be really excited to see that final end result. It really does just add so much to, the passion of everybody creating it. So, yeah, I've gone off tangent a little bit there, I think.
No, I love that. And I just wonder, when you talk about doing those more serious projects, which sound like they're still important to you, how do you switch the finding the fun from kind of the laughing, joking into something that's a bit more serious? Do you manage to find the fun in those projects as well?
Yeah, completely. Actually, everything from a Google film about AI in marketing that we might chop some really nice B-roll bits at the start of by asking the contributors what was the last thing they Googled and coming up with some great answers. Or maybe it's a seriously hard-hitting film for the NHS about someone who's had a family member or someone close to them die, and it's maybe themed around organ donation. But even in that element, you know, we're still giving it a nice dynamic intro. We're showing the human behind the information there, and we're trying to make it as authentic as possible. So I think that no matter how serious it is, there's always a good way to find fun elements in every project. And especially when it's B2B cons, or if we're producing the content for LinkedIn, I think it's even more important that you make it fun. Otherwise, it's just, you know, the same as all the stale content that people see every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. So finding the fun is your niche. That's how you see it, which is really awesome. And you're such, like I said earlier, you're still such a young agency, but you talk about having these really important kind of core values within your team. How have you balanced kind of that rapid growth that you've experienced whilst keeping those core values in place? Has it been a challenge, or has it happened quite organically? Like, what's it been like for you?
It's definitely been by approaching things in a slow and considered manner, as myself and Ollie have learned to be better managers. I think that, you know, we're both far better managers now than we were at the start of the company. We've made a lot of mistakes and learned a lot of lessons along the way. And I think that it's just really important to take it with a very considered approach, and really kind of focus on the team first, because once you've got that right, then everything else kind of slots into place. We do have proper values at Sunday Treat spanning across our team, our clients, and our creativity. It's something that we talk about in all the interviews that we do. It's something that we visit a lot. And the team is the first one there, because that kind of sets the bar for everything else. If you've got a happy, you know, functioning and passionate team, you know, that turn up every day, you know, and give every project their fullest, then the rest kind of slots into place quite easily, really.
I love that. And when it comes to challenges, whether that be challenges within the industry or kind of challenges just that you face as a team, what's your mindset on that?
Yeah, there's a lot of different decision-making kind of frameworks, and you know, which are quite interesting. Actually, funnily enough, we were just on a job in Salt Lake City for a client, and Ollie got me a book called The Decision Book, which I had a little read by the pool when we had some downtime. And it was basically just 100 different decision-making frameworks. You know, everything Eisenhower used to use back in the day, you know, to some really modern approaches. And the one that really stood out to me was, take a coin, assign a decision to either side of it, flip it in the air, and then before you go to pick it up, just listen to your gut and listen to what you would like it to be. And I thought that was quite a nice way of like simplifying down all these, like, you know, complicated decision-making matrices that you can overanalyze everything, you know, do your SWOT analysis and work out, you know, which decisions are one-way doors or two-way doors and everything. And all that kind of business lingo. I think sometimes you just got to go with your gut. And that's what we did at the start of Sunday Treat. And that is what we do most of the time now. And generally, you know, I think especially if it's an area that you've already got expertise in and you've got experience in, then that's usually cool.
That's incredible. I actually use that theory myself. Usually when I'm in a restaurant and there's two things on the menu that I can't decide, the fact that you use that in business makes me so happy. When I'm sat there deciding whether I want the chicken or the steak, and you're there like using it to run your agency is incredible. I love it. So yeah, that's awesome. And I wonder how you know, you've got this great team around you, you've got this great mindset, like you can just discuss, you know, kind of some decision-making skills, things like that. How do you create the culture in your team that helps with kind of innovation and risk-taking? Because, you know, it's clear that you do things against the grain, even if it doesn't feel against the grain for you. You know, it's obvious from kind of industry chats that you've had that it is a little bit different. So how do you get the team to kind of have that culture and that mindset as well?
Yeah, you hire the right people for start, which is easier said than done. I think it's probably the most important, you know, part of me and Ollie's job is hiring the right people. You give them agency to be able to make decisions themselves. You support their growth and you listen to what they want out of their careers and development. And you also let them go when you need to, you know, and you realize that you're only ever borrowing people and that there's never any kind of bitterness or negative feelings where someone decides to move on after however long. And I think ultimately, if you do all that, the culture does actually start to create itself because it's quite authentic and is something that's quite hard to define, a culture. And it's all well and good writing out some values, you know, but a culture's got a mind of its own. And if you hire the right people, then they start to build the culture in, you know, far more of a tangible way than you ever could on your own by just preaching certain things. That would be my take on it.
Excellent. And I'm imagining when you have some projects, being like quite a close-knit team and having this culture and sort of, it sounds like the sort of place where you'll be batting ideas around. Do you ever come across any sort of skepticism or pushback for any risky strategies that you might have? Or is, you know, how does that kind of pan out with things that might feel a bit risky as a team?
Yeah, I think something that maybe when you talk about it yourself might feel quite risky becomes more manageable and doable when you share it with the team and really kind of dig down into the detail. So I think it's sharing the burden of those decisions. I think that I'm typically quite an over-optimistic person. I kind of jump into everything with blind optimism. I quite like taking risks and taking punts on people and things. I like saying yes to things. Ollie's a little bit more on that pessimistic side, and actually we kind of balance each other out, you know, quite well in that regard. And then, you know, everyone in the team has different layers of, you know, on that spectrum, and we're also, you know, unique and human. But yeah, I think that it's really good to be challenged as well. I think fostering a very candid environment is really important as well, where everybody feels safe to express doubts or concerns. You know, recently we've been doing a lot of work pushing our services into more of the creative strategy and less of the only production element. Primarily, you know, we came up, you know, doing film production, and we want to expand those services. And our incredible account manager, Amy, said to me the other day, what are we? Are we a creative strategy agency or are we a production agency? And this was a while back earlier in the year, and I had to think about it for a bit, and I thought that's such a kind of great and direct kind of challenging question. And I think it's really important to be able to like express tricky questions be able to, you know, completely circumvent, you know, levels of management even within a small team, and be very honest with everybody in the team. So if you're always challenging yourself and you're always honest, then I think, you know, you might not get every question right, and some of those risks that you might take might, you know, completely flop, but that's okay because you probably have the best chance going into it.
And how does that, so it sounds like you've got the team kind of a really great working relationship with the team, with that open challenge sort of atmosphere. How does that translate with potential clients for you? Do you ever find that there's any kind of pushback? Particularly because, you know, a lot of people nowadays are very niched in what they do. And so anyone looking for support can go, oh, well, this one, you know, this agency focuses exactly on what I'm looking for, so I'm going to go them. Do you find that there's any challenges or pushbacks from potential clients because of the way that you operate?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's just like taking your client through the process, really, and helping them understand why, you know, the decisions that you're putting forward are the right decisions for the business. Clients might be used to a certain way of doing things. And I think that showing previous case studies can be really helpful. And if you don't have those previous case studies, it can be really hard, actually. But yeah, it's just explaining to them, being really honest with them and treating them in the same way that you would, you know, members of your internal team, just with that candor from a place of, you know, kindness and honesty, really. So yeah, we do get pushback. And, you know, that question you asked at the start, you know, what the success look like for us, we ask that same question to our clients, and it's always very different. So some of them might want to have general brand awareness. Some of them might not want to promote a certain product or a service with a bespoke campaign. Some of them might want to have a thought leadership voice on a B2B platform, whilst another one is creating a global campaign that's going to be across multi social channels. So it's always totally different. And I think it's just really kind of digging into, you know, that bespoke need that the client has. And our client relationships are so different depending on the client and sector. We don't have like an exact process that we follow for every project. There's so many different variables in what we create that it just sort of has to be that way. So you just become, you know, really close partners with your clients and true collaborators, because there's so much to discuss.
Do you find just kind of attracting clients, again, because you've got such a wide array of projects that you've worked on, you've worked with some incredible, you know, like we talked at the beginning, Google and Canon and all of these incredible projects. Have you got any particular strategies that attract those sorts of clients, or that your ideal sort of clients that are just looking for the fun?
You know, we have a well thought out marketing strategy that crosses out across email lead gen, face-to-face pitching, you know, organic referrals, SEO. And yeah, we're kind of analyzing, you know, the way we present ourselves and what our ideal client profile is, you know, across all those different channels. And we think about that. But I think if you've got everything right in place, then you're usually kind of scattering your marketing out to a huge audience, 99.9% of which isn't the faintest bit interested. But if you have everything kind of perfectly prepared and ready, and you have your voice and your service offering and everything there set, then that 0.1% chance that lightning does strike and you happen to hit that client exactly the moment that they need that thing that you're offering, then you're in and you're there. And then once you've done one project with them, you build up that rapport, they trust you, and then they will remain a repeat client for years and years and years. And if you were to work out the percentages, they'd be heavily skewed in our business towards repeat clients. We very rarely have only one engagement with a client. But it's always, yeah, much harder at the start. And I think you just need to be really clear on what your offering is. And even though the way that you maybe execute the project is going to be very different and bespoke to the client and what sector they're in and what they want to get out of it, I think that the way that we initially pitch ourselves and present ourselves is almost the same, you know, every time. And that's something that, you know, we have got much more of a process for, and is much more refined and consistent across the team as well.
I think one thing that has been a consistent sort of message that I've heard from the agency world over the last year or so is that it has been a bit of a roller coaster, right? You know, like on the whole, it's been quite tough for some people. But even when there are agencies like Sunday Tree that have been, you know, rapidly growing, doing really well through a tough time, it feels like there is always a roller coaster, and it's not always, you know, just flying high at the top. Sometimes there's those ups and downs. I wonder, have you experienced any of those down times? And during that time, have you ever thought, I'm going to need to potentially change the way that I'm doing things and focus on some of those traditional things that I hear other agency owners talking about a little bit more?
I mean, as a sort of overly optimistic to a probably unhealthy degree person, I would say no. And we've been really lucky.
Can I ask you the same question with regards to Ollie as well?
No, we've been really lucky that we haven't had any downtime. And I do think part of that is luck. But also part of it is because we've been considered about how quickly we've been growing. And there's a strong argument that maybe if you got a business consultant in, you know, earlier in the year, they might say, you know, look at your profits, look at your turnover, look at clients, look at the projections. Let's, you know, throw another few people in this department and professionalize this area and bulk up this area. And we've specifically not done that for two reasons. One is the culture stuff that I already mentioned, but the other one is because that does put you in a good position of having to grow when the work comes in, rather than to ever worry about, you know, shrinking when the work's not coming in. And so we do have a heavy reliance on a freelance base. You know, we spend a huge amount of money on freelancers, and that the network of freelancers that we have, some of which we've been working with for, you know, a really long time, are such an important, integral part of the business. So yeah, been lucky enough never to have any particularly struggling times. I'm sure they will come one day, and you know, it'll be about using those times as a bit of a lesson. You know, and I hope we come out stronger from those times than we went into them. But yeah, at the moment, it's all, you know, it's been hard. Every day it's hard. There's always new hard problems to solve. But there's always been an optimistic outlook, because generally things have been looking good and the business has been coming in.
It must be that relentless optimism has just kept you going strong, and long may it continue, because it's a really good place to be.
You know, it's all well and good, you know, processing things if you're running, you know, a box factory and you know exactly where every single element can be tweaked to refine the process. But everything's so kind of like loose and organic in the services industry, which I think is what the UK does best and really is the strength. The backbone of this economy is the service industry that we sell to the whole world, really. And I think particularly in that industry, that optimism is really important.
What is one lesson or just thing that has surprised you in your kind of journey so far with Sunday Treat?
Gosh, that's a tricky question. I think actually maybe how hard it is to win new clients, because I think that, you know, everyone suffers from that kind of me syndrome of kind of thinking, you know, you put all your voice together and you put it in a nice, lovely deck and you put all your previous case studies and you're like, actually, when you summarize it like this, the work's pretty good. You know, I think that this should be a bit reassuring. And then you realize, you know, that you're maybe pitching to the clients at the wrong time, or the budgets that you're putting out there are not compatible with the budgets they've got available, or other kind of myriad reasons that you might not be privy to. Just for whatever reason, you know, you're not going to win the pitch. So I think that at the start of Sunday Treat, I thought that if we had a good proposition and ways to generate leads, then it would be easy to just find tons of new clients and grow really quickly. And actually, it was a lot more challenging than I expected, just due to all those different varying factors, really.
Yeah. Okay. So that's been your surprise so far. And also looking back and with a bit of hindsight, is there anything that you would have done differently to get to where you are today?
Just taking those on the chin a little bit, those times you don't win the pitches, and those times you don't. Because, you know, it's quite an emotional thing as well. You already start kind of forming the imagination of the engagement with that client before you've even won it, or maybe you've even put together a creative pitch, which we try and avoid, actually, to be honest. But sometimes it is unavoidable. And it can hurt, you know, when you don't get it, for everyone in the team, really. And so I guess over time, you just build a thick skin around that. I think part of it as well is if you're busy, then that stuff just kind of gets forgotten quite quickly, actually, and you're just moving on to the next project. So I think it's really important to be busy. And again, I think one of the strengths of Sunday Treat is that we do have that small team, but everybody's very visible in their role. And I think if you're visible in your role, then it means you have to be passionate about your role. You have to be passionate about the work you're doing. And you generally are, because the work that you're doing has a very tangible effect. You know, everyone in the team, the work that they do is clearly obvious where it's going, you know, into that end product. Every day, you know, the work we put in shows up in that final product. And that keeps everyone quite passionate, really.
And that's all you need. That's excellent. What advice would you give to someone who is maybe aiming for a similar sort of turnover to you? I know that isn't a huge part of your kind of focus, but, you know, that sort of 1 million plus turnover, what advice would you give them about kind of hitting that and not necessarily having to go against the grain? Because I'm conscious of the fact that, you know, we all give advice out while company, you know, giving out kind of stats, and we always focus on, you know, niching. Business coaches do the same thing. And I think that's really important, that's the traditional advice to give, and it's a proven success, but there's not one road to the end destination always, is there? And you've proven that at Sunday Treat. So what advice would you give to somebody who maybe feels like they don't necessarily fit into the more traditional agency way and is aiming to get to where you are now?
Yeah, I think it's to find some sort of niche, even if that's just a way that you present yourself. Niche is the wrong word, actually. Don't find a niche, because that sounds like you're excluding yourself.
I was going to say, you're like, I don't have a niche apart from fun.
it's some way to talk about yourself. And I think that it might feel like when you find a way to talk about yourself, it might not even at the start sound completely true. You might be like, hang on a minute, is this really what we are? But if you really commit to it, and you just keep on talking about it every day, then it suddenly does become part of you. And then you look back and you're like, oh yeah, that is what we are. And then you can throw away the niche completely and, you know, feel free to work with whoever you want, really. But it's just to find a way to market yourself and talk about yourself both internally and externally. Other advice that I would give, I think it's really hard to do it on your own. You've got to be surrounded by really great people. And you've got to be able to be very honest about every element of the business with them. So I think even if you're running a small business, you know, even if you're just running a business with two people or three people, you know, be transparent and be honest about everything. And then trust the process, you know, because if you're doing all the right things, then it will happen for you, you know, even if it takes a little bit of time. And again, in the services industry, the most important thing is that great client experience. So really prioritizing that.
It's really practical advice, very helpful. And also kind of couldn't help but think, fake it till you make it, when you said it at the beginning, you know, just have that in your mind of what you,
yeah,
if you're not there yet, you're with it, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we were doing interviews today and we had someone come in and they were quite nervous. And the first thing they said was, I'm being honest, I'm just faking it until I make it a little bit now. And like, we're all doing that.
Tick, you're in. Well done. So what's next for you and Sunday Treat then? What's going on? What plans do you have to just continue pushing those boundaries?
So we're going to be, after a period of really exciting growth within our clients and our turnover and the scale of projects that we've been working on, we're going to start matching that with the growth of the team. And we're going to be hiring some new roles. The next one that we'll be hiring for is a business development manager to refine that client services difference between client services department and our new business department. We've, along with that, we'll be really refining our marketing strategy as well. I've got some really interesting new ideas for how to develop that. We'll be doing our next Sunday Treat Originals. So our commitment to original comedy is our Sunday Treat Originals project, which is us making a short film every year, which we just fund ourselves. We put out script call-outs. And as a team, we choose the best scripts and then we go and we make it. And it's a nice place for us to create really creatively interesting projects without any client restrictions and mix up the roles of the team a little bit. And yeah, we just had a span of really exciting projects, a lot in America and some really big TVCs in the UK as well. And it just feels like a lot of the projects we're working on now are just so fun and of a really large scale. And I'm really hoping that continues with some of the great client relationships that we've built up this year.
That sounds super exciting and good luck with it all. Before we wrap up here, I ask everybody on every podcast the same sort of finale question, which I think is really important. What does beautiful business mean to you?
What does beautiful business mean to me? I think ultimately a beautiful business has to be something that makes a positive impact on the industry, the clients you're working for, but most importantly, the people that are working in the business every day. But it is a hard thing to define. It's just built up, you know, of those thousands of small decisions that you make every year. But I think actually to me, a beautiful business is something with a real kind of indie, I'm going to say indie filmmaking, because that's the background I came from, is that indie filmmaking kind of grit. You know, sometimes you just need to throw out all those processes that you work so hard on and you just find a way to get it done. And that's what you need to do on an indie filmmaking set. It's what me and Ollie did for our whole careers before we shut up Sunday Treats. And you can't rest on your laurels too much with that attitude as well. You're very much only as good as your last job. And so you're always moving, you're finding creative, interesting ways to get it done that do go against the grain. And there's always a way. I think if you can inject that kind of spirit on like a project basis into a business overall, then you do end up with something that's quite beautiful.
I love that. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Gullibern. And honestly, best of luck moving forward as well. It sounds like you've got really, really exciting times ahead, and a really solid background to come from. And thanks for kind of sharing your journey on that so far. It's always great, like I said, to hear the different routes to that success destination, whatever that looks like for people. So yeah, it's been really lovely to have you chat to me today, and thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Chloe. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Beautiful Business Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please remember to subscribe and leave us a review. For more advice and practical tips on what it's really like to build a beautiful business, visit our content hub at wowco.uk/hub, or check out the link in the show notes.